But right now, we're going to focus on the continent of Europe, the European Union, the man that does that with us, Dr. Rob Congdon. Rob, we caught you someplace on the move around the area where you're living there in Greer, South Carolina. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're in the heart of Greenville, South Carolina. Beautiful southern day today down here.
Well, it's great to be able to get you on the move, and thanks for being available for us to be able to talk about what's happening in the European Union. Some very significant things unfolding there. Earlier in the week, there was a meeting between Angela Merkel and the new President Hollande of France. They got together, and then there was somewhat of a summit. Talk to us about the situation as it relates to these members of the European Union getting together and try to figure out how to get out of this euro crisis.
Well, the crisis continues, and the tension is that obviously France, as we just mentioned, they hold a different view on how to resolve the problem, and Germany is trying to counter it. At the summit, it was discussed. One of the conclusions was that they should start looking at a stronger European Union, a tighter control, which we talked about last week. So they've commissioned the president of the council to do a study and come out with suggestions on giving more control, more power to the European Union, and obviously less to the individual states. The big issue is, do they go to what are called euro bonds, in which basically it would unite the many countries financially together so that when it comes to borrowing, they'd borrow on these bonds. And if you will, the good credit of the strong countries would support the bad credit of the countries like Greece and all those that are having problems today.
Yeah, I understand Germany does not want to do that. Is there a reason behind their decision not to want to participate?
Oh, absolutely. They are very strong. They are a growing economy. They are able to sell their bonds at 0%, basically. So in other words, people are investing in Germany because they believe their bonds or their money will be totally safe, even though they won't earn interest. Whereas in Spain and some of the other countries, you're looking at quite high rates that must be paid to get people to invest in them. So Germany is so solid that people are starting to put their money into German bonds. And obviously, if you make all the bonds equal in Europe, one single type of bond, Germany loses its ability to show its strength. And it could severely affect Germany, Netherlands, and some of the other countries that are strong. It would hurt them quite badly.
Well, Rob, talk to me about this plan that the new French president is bringing to the table. He wants to challenge the austerity agenda and try to go against making everyone pay up as they go. I mean, you know, I don't know if it works for you. It doesn't work for me. I mean, my creditors want me to pay my bills. I can't keep spending and spending and the bills don't go away. How's he going to reconciliate what needs to go on with this type of get rid of the austerity?
Well, it's the same argument you hear in the United States here. As the idea is, if you start spending money, if the government spends the money, then that money can be used to spur the economy and get it going again. Interestingly, though, as we're seeing in the situation in Greece, they just want people to keep supplying them money and they can keep going with the lifestyle they're used to. Like you said, if you and I would do it, we'd be in bankrupt soon. And obviously, I don't know why, but the people don't want to give up anything, of course. In Greece, that's why they voted. In France, it's the same story. They don't want to give up anything, and they just can't see far enough ahead where it's going to lead. So it's quite a serious problem. There is now a growing brain drain in Greece. People are getting out of Greece who earn good incomes. They realize things are collapsing. So this whole crisis is really getting to be much larger, and the danger is growing that other countries will follow it. So it's a serious problem. They've got to hit upon a solution, and the question is, will it be austerity, cut back on spending, try to build up business, or merely spend more money and somehow get that to solve a problem?
What would be the problem? Just talk to me a moment or two, Rob, if you will. What would be the problem if Greece did exit the eurozone? Would that cause major ramifications for the European Union and or for the world?
Well, the problem, of course, is that anybody who's invested in Greek businesses, banks, etc., the value of the money they had hoped to be repaid would drop down to almost nothing or perhaps nothing, and so they stand to lose significantly. Greece only represents 2% of the economy of Europe, so in many ways, if Greece should default and get out of the euro, it merely is a kind of a blip, if you will, in the business world initially. The problem is there are three or four other countries following in the exact same footsteps as Greece, and one of which is Spain. It represents a significant part of the European economy, and that would have a greater effect on all through Europe. In fact, Britain believes that even if Greece pulls out and one more country goes, they could go into a major recession. So it is serious to Europe, not so much about Greece, is that it sets a precedence and could mean the breakup of the Eurozone and consequently a lot of people losing money, a lot of businesses, a lot of retirement funds losing their money. And as we've learned in the United States, when that happens, the consequences are far-reaching. And that's what they're worried about, is the longer approach with more countries defaulting.
Now, you mentioned earlier in our conversation that Herman Van Rompuy, who is the president of the Council, the 27 member states, has been commissioned with the responsibility of trying to bring a program together, a plan at least, maybe not all the inner details, but an overall outline plan of how they're going to be able to save the euro, et cetera. Is that going to happen? And what would it entail? I mean, is that going to mean real restrictions on each individual government?
Well, yes, it will. It'll mean real restrictions because even now they're saying we have to get better control of those budgets in the individual countries. Consequently, what they're looking at is really the European Union being the one in charge of the financial system of all 27 countries, the European Union deciding what each individual country's budget could be, how much they can spend in a year, and what will be the penalties to that country if they fail to achieve it. It would put enormous power into the European Union. Once you've done that, you basically are doing away with the individual countries. When you've done that, you not only have an empire, but you have something that's starting to appear. What we've read in the scriptures could one day be the final world empire, which starts fitting the characteristics, largely because the way in which they do it and their government is unique in history. And in the book of Daniel chapter 7, it says that final empire will be truly unique in history in some way. Well, this certainly is a possibility that this might be the way it would be unique.
Now, you are using the term empire, and of course, you and I both, as prophetic teachers, talk about the revived Roman Empire, which, as you were referring to there, Daniel chapter 7, also in the book of Revelation chapters 13 and 17, you can get more information about this revival of the old Roman Empire. But it's not just you and me as Bible teachers that are using that term. Are not European leaders using the term empire as well?
Yes, they are. Very frequently they refer to their union, and on occasions at a press conference in Brussels, the president of the commission was asked, and I have the tape and I've shown it to many people. He says, we are an empire, not one of those evil empires. We are a good empire and we are going to lead forward. And so the term empire has been used many times. I've been doing a study. I'm getting ready to put an article up soon on my website, probably in the next few weeks, showing what an empire really is by definition. And as you study that definition of world empires, certainly the European Union fits that definition, especially if they reorganize in this form that they are now looking toward.
Wow. Again, folks, I always have to say it. When I talk with Dr. Rob Congdon, we always have to come around. With what we see unfolding on the world stage today, it brings us right to the prophetic passages of Scripture that lay out that scenario for the end times, which the Bible talks so much about. And, of course, that's what Rob and I do. We travel the country, we travel the world, teaching the prophetic truth. Our son Jim Jr. does the same thing. We need to get more people out there doing that, Rob, but indeed, you and Jim Jr. and myself out there in the battle, it's helping. And let's just keep encouraging people to study the Word of God, come to an understanding of where we are in God's times, and then live in light of that. Hey, thanks, Rob. Appreciate it so very much. Your input is always so important to us here on Prophecy Today. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, we'll look forward to it. Lord bless.